Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels live radio show. Right? It's live, right? It's a live show that becomes a podcast. I know I say that every week, but I just want you to know that you know, I'm a little different than most podcasts, where, you know, podcasts are pre-recorded shows, but this is a live show. So, I can't say, wait a minute, stop, let's start over. No, we're already into it now. It's 1 o'clock. It's 1:03. We're already into it. So anyway, as you can tell, I'm on one today. But anyway, that's all right. So thank you so much for joining us. We're live, like I said, on air with Russell of Hotels live radio show. We're all about hashtag hospitality unplugged, which means I say whatever I want to say when regarding hospitality, those issues, the things that go on. I touch some topics that people don't want to touch, talk about things people don't want to talk about. You know, that's just how it is. But we do it all in good taste. You know, we're not out there dogging people out or talking about people or putting people on a negative blast. When people are on the show, I say they're on blast because we're blowing them up, right? I get to blow people up, meaning, you know, get them out there, talk about what they want to talk about their careers, how they got to where they are, their brand and things like that. So that's what that's all about. That's what Russell of Hotels is all about. That's it. And we have a little fun as we can, as much as we can, right? Especially during these times. But we're all about connecting people and collaboration, okay, right? So when I have people on the show, that means we're connecting, even when people aren't on the show, I'm still connecting and collaborating because, you know, I get like three people that listen and watch the show. So I'm connecting and hopefully collaborating with those people. So welcome. So everyone on Facebook Live, LA Talk Radio, the podcast part or just the audio part, I do thank you for joining. It's show number 68. Who would have thought? Two more to 70, another milestone, right? What am I going to do for show 70? I don't know. But show 71, I'm about to take a break. Okay. So maybe that's what I'll do. I'm not sure. So we'll see. Industry news. What is this all about? Okay. Airlines turning back and escorting people off planes who are refusing to wear masks during flights. What is going on here with people and not wanting to wear masks? What is that all about? I mean, if those are the procedures, their policies, the protocol, however you want to put it, you know that these people knew that before they got on the plane, right? Now, are people just doing this on purpose just to inconvenience other people, make it happening? But this was, I think it was a Delta flight. I can't remember where it was going, but it had taken off. And I guess the flight attendants were asking people to keep their mask on. And two people refused to put their mask back on. I guess before the flight, they had their mask on. But when they took off and when they're in flight, they took them off. And, you know, guess what? The captain whipped that plane around and landed it and escorted those people off. I'm sure the people on the plane, the other people were probably pretty happy that this happened, right? That they had to turn back around. And, you know, it's, I just don't understand how people, I mean, these are unprecedented times. We know that I've been talking about this forever since this whole thing started, right? But we have to do what we have to do, right? To get things to back somewhere where they used to be. They're never going to be back where they were. Okay. Never. Okay. But I think we could get back to some reality or some close to the reality that we, you know, were experiencing before. But people need to be mindful and people need to do the right thing. There you go. I'm done with that. But people can be stupid too. So I can say that. See, that's what comes at Hospitality Unplugged. People can be stupid. I can say that, right? So other shows may not say that. I don't know. But people are idiots and people can be stupid. Okay. I just use stupid and idiotic in the same sentence. Done. Okay. Other industry news. You know, with this whole COVID thing, I just heard this the other day, like 8,000 hotels will be going under, meaning people will be companies or people that own them will lose 8,000 hotels. Hotels are going bankrupt, companies, small companies, and these are going to be smaller properties, but larger properties too, right? Because a lot of people that own the big box hotels, I mean, those are really suffering, right? Just think about it. The big box hotels that were relying on convention business, those hotels are suffering just like the smaller ones, if not more, because the smaller ones have, you know, less overhead. The big ones, and they have unions and things like that. So, and that goes back to something else. You know, people are thinking because, you know, all these things are going on and hotels are running 40%, that hotels are going to be basically giving away the rooms. They're not, because they still have costs associated with it, right? They can only go so low, especially when you lost so much money. And, you know, I booked a room for someone in Monterey and the rate was 100. And it was two nights and the average out about $130 a night. And he was like, that is great, because some other hotels, you know, closer to where everything's happening in Monterey, I don't know what's happening in Monterey these days, Pebble Beach, he's going to play golf, right? So, $200. I'm in. Where do I sign? You know, send me the, you know, reservation. Here's my credit card. So I guess it just depends on, you know, what is a high rate or not. But people are not just giving hotels away. Just so you know, the rooms are not, they're going to be at a discount, probably a little lower, but they're not going to be a fire sale where you're getting $50 rooms and things like that. So don't be looking for that stuff. Or $50 rooms at nice hotels. Now, some of the hotels that are not nice that I wouldn't stay in, yeah, they may be $50, but would you want to stay there? And think about when you're going to these hotels, what is their cleaning protocol? What are they doing that they weren't doing before? Are they going to say, oh, yeah, we've always cleaned our rooms? Well, okay. All right. Okay. Deuces. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's sad to hear the 8,000 hotels are going under. And that's not even counting the ones I'm saying now. There's probably some ones that when this thing first started, and that's not counting the ones that are going to be added to that number as well. But, you know, it's a sad situation. My condolences to the family of Herman Cain, businessman and one-time presidential candidate. Now, the reason why I'm saying this and the reason why it's significant to me, okay, because a lot of people don't even know this story, right? No, I'm not. I mean, he ran for president a couple years or a couple times ago as a Republican candidate. I'm not here to talk about that. Okay. I'm not, don't get it twisted here. Right. So, but years ago when I was in college, I was at Cal Poly Pomona. I was doing my senior thesis. And I may have mentioned before that I was working on senior thesis or whatever, but anyway, he was one of the people that I sent a survey to years ago. I mean, back in the, you know, I don't know when it was, but anyway, it was a long time ago, probably 30 years ago, probably. I don't know. But anyway, I don't even want to talk about it, but it's significant. So that's why I'm bringing him up. So he was then the CEO, president CEO of Godfather's Pizza. So he was, Herman Cain has a background in food and beverage, food operations, restaurant operations. Started his career with, I think Coca-Cola, Pepsi, one of the beverage companies, and they owned Pillsbury, which owned Godfather's Pizza. Okay, so when he left the beverage industry, he became the CEO of Godfather's Pizza, which was a pizza. I'm not even sure if Godfather's Pizza is still around, but back then it was. I remember them having them in Arizona because Blythe is near Arizona, right? So we would get the commercials for Godfather's Pizza. So when I was at Cal Poly, you know, you read magazines or whatever, and Herman Cain was this guy, the CEO. Well, I did this. My senior thesis was on Blacks or African Americans, however you want to spin it or put it, in the hospitality industry, because I didn't know of any that I can just, you know, pick up the phone and call. So I did a survey, right? So I surveyed, I don't know, 7 to 10 people. And Herman Cain was one of the people that I surveyed. Now, not only did I survey, I was sending stuff in the mail, but I actually called and spoke to him. So and he actually took time. Like I said, he's the CEO of this company, right? He had other things I'm sure he needed to do to hear some student call and asking all these questions, you know, about 20 questions, whatever. But he was gracious enough. He told me when he had time. So I called him back, talked to his assistant, and she patched me or transferred me right through to him. He answered the phone. We talked for about 20, 30 minutes. And then, I mean, I'm writing down the answers as he's telling me because I have a questionnaire. And he actually filled it out. I mean, I filled it out. He didn't even have to do that because I was writing as he was answering the questions. But he had completed. It was great. So that's why I'm mentioning him. And like I said, he passed away. He actually passed away from the COVID virus. He passed away last week. So I just want to my condolences and prayers to his family, because I do appreciate what he did for me years ago. And that's what it's all about. Because last week I talked about being a mentor and things like that. Not saying he was a mentor to me, because I didn't know him that well. I didn't know him at all other than the thing. But, you know, someone that's willing to give back to someone that's trying to make it up, you know, climb the ladder. He was already at the pinnacle. He was already at the top. But he, you know, thought enough of his journey to help someone, you know, a young student that was maybe trying to get to maybe where he was or is that day for, you know, in the future. So I do appreciate that. So thank you so much, Herman Cain, for that. Non-meat eats. Today is Taco Tuesday. Listen to this on air with Russell Hotels. Every week I talk about, it's always Taco Tuesday because my shows are on Tuesday. And I always make non-meat eat tacos, which means, you know, tacos that are not made with meat. They're plant-based because I don't eat meat. I'm plant-based, just in case people didn't know that. So today last week I made mushroom, shiitake mushroom tacos. This week I'm going to make jackfruit tacos. Now, jackfruit is this big fruit, an Asian fruit that you cut up, and I don't have to do all that. But I just go to Trader Joe's and they sell them in a green can that says jackfruit. And they're already quartered, they're diced and quartered, whatever. So I just, you know, pull them together. And they have the consistency like a pulled pork. You know, if you know what that is, you know, if the consistency of that is, then you know what the consistency of the jackfruit is. Tastes different. It almost takes on the taste of whatever you paired with or you prepared with. So today's jackfruit taco day. So that's what I'm going to make today. Hey, you guys know about, what is it called? God, I've written it down and now it's not even here. What did I do? It was a restaurant. Gosh, I can't even think of it. Anyway, whatever. Are you reinventing yourself? Are you swerving? Swerving is another word for pivot. Everyone's using the P word, right? So I use the S word. Are you swerving? Are you, you know, swerving around whatever these obstacles? This obstacle is COVID, or, you know, people are getting laid off. People are losing their jobs. What are we doing? Are we swerving around it? Are we just waiting for everything to get back to normal? Well, guess what? I don't think it's going to get back to normal. So what do we need to do? We need to do something, right? So we need to swerve or pivot. So that's what that means. Or I have other words. You need to rotate. You need to turn. You need to revolve. You need to spin, swivel, twirl, or oscillate. You need to do one of those things, okay? Or just use a regular P word, which is pivot. The best way to predict the future is to invent it, okay? I always say that, don't I? Well, at least I say it. Yeah, sure I do. Contact information. How do you contact On Air with Russell Hotels, or just Russell? That's me. Did I say my name was Russell Edmond? That's my name, just in case you guys didn't know. And then you can see it if you're looking at Facebook Live. You can see my name right there. And sometimes I always forget that, you know, people may not even know what who the heck this Russell is or what's his last name. Anyway, contact information, russell@russelofhotels.com is my email. Twitter, Russell of Hotels, IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond, which a lot of people reach out to me on LinkedIn, which is a great tool. If you don't have a profile, if you're not connected on LinkedIn, if you're not, if your profile is not updated, please update it because it does work. Facebook, I have two Facebook pages. That is Russell. Someone just texts me. You know, it's funny. If people text you during the show, right? I have to look at it, right? It just flashed. I have to look at it. And it is, if it wasn't for but from anyone else other than my sister, I wouldn't look at it. I wouldn't even be commenting about it. But anyway, I have two Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and at Russell of Hotels. That's the second one. Russell L. Edmond is one. Russell of Hotels is the second one. And I have a website, russelofhotels.com. Like I mentioned before, the show is on. It becomes a podcast after this live show. So it's on iTunes, Apple Play or Google Play, whatever you find your favorite podcast, that's where it is. Just type in Russell of Hotels and it'll come up. So let me just look and see what she has to say because it has something to do with a restaurant. I'm always speaking of restaurants, vegan restaurants or plant-based restaurants. John Sally opened up a restaurant. It's called Cafe Organic in San Bernardino. Okay, she had told me about this last week and, you know, I kind of forgot that I was going to mention it, but you know, of course, she reminds me. So thank you, Marcia Edmond. That's my sister for sending me, now she said LOL. Okay, now she's laughing because obviously she heard what I had to say. But John Sally, who used to be, he's a former NBA player. He was a vegan, been a vegan since 91, because I listened to his story. And he opened up a restaurant. Why did he pick San Bernardino? I don't know. Is there that many people that don't eat meat in San Bernardino? We needed one here in L.A. because the stuff on his menu looked bomb. So I'm interested to try it. One day, maybe I will. Marcia has tried it. She said it was very good. So I have to check it out. So if you're in the IE, where the Inland Empire or near San Bernardino, swing by and check out John Sally's restaurant. It's called Cafe Organic. Okay. And tell me what you think. So thank you, Marcia, for that. Sponsorship opportunities. You can always reach out to me. You see how I'm in my office and I see it on the top says On Air with Russell Hotels. Just imagine your hotel name there, or maybe even a picture of your hotel there, right? Because I designed these backdrops, right? So I can make whatever I want, any picture, any words or whatever I can put on it, your logo, things like that. So you can do that. People that listen to the show, they're all over. They're in LA, Orange County, Chicago, San Francisco, New York, Atlanta, outside of the country. We got Jamaica, Barbados, Vancouver, Philippines, New Zealand, Australia. And did I say UK? In the UK. So we get, who would have known, you know, a number of shows ago that people would even be chiming in and watching from those countries, but they are. So I do appreciate those people as well. So thank you. What is the Russell of Hotels group? Digital marketing. I'm a limited to three things, right? Because Russell of Hotels does a lot of stuff, right? But I'm a limited to three things. Digital marketing via social media, help build your presence with videos, postings, etc. Radio show hosts. That's what I'm doing now. Interview today's hospitality professionals. Not today, but I do have people come on the show and they talk about their careers, how they got to where they are, you know, their brands or whatever the subjects are. I don't tell people what the questions I'm gonna ask them, but they do know. I mean, it's basically about them. And who doesn't want to come on to a show and talk about yourself, right? I do. I mean, someone asked me to come. Of course, I'm going to jump at the opportunity to go. So that's what this is. It's a platform for people in the hospitality industry, talk about themselves, how they got to where they are, where they started. Talk about their brand, who they work for, even if the brand is them. I mean, they can be the brand like me. I'm the Russell of Hotels, right? I don't have a hotel. I don't own hotels. And people, I get emails or messages on LinkedIn. They say, oh, where's your hotel located? You know, do you take group rates at your hotel? Well, I don't have a hotel, but I can help you with the group rates, right? Somewhere else. But yeah, it's funny how people, and they see Russell, because there is Russell Hotels. And I want to say that's in England, if I'm not mistaken, or the UK, somewhere around there. So there are Russell Hotels somewhere. So they get it mixed up with Russell of Hotels. So anyway, it's not a bad thing if they make mistakes, right? Not a bad thing. I just want to be on somebody's, somebody talking about me somewhere. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. As long as someone's talking about you, you made it, right? Just remember that. Collaboration and connecting people. I mentioned that earlier. I'm going to keep mentioning that because that's what it's all about. It's all about collaboration and connecting with people. Four questions I always ask every week. How is your brand staying relevant? Are you doing anything? Are you stagnant? Are you, because of the COVID thing, you're just like sitting back? Well, we're open, but you know, people need to know that you're open, right? So what are you doing to stay relevant? You need to be active. And one thing about, you know, doing things on social media, it is not that expensive to do, right? I can show you how to do it, right? And it won't be that expensive. I won't charge you that much. Knowing what you know now, is there anything that you are doing differently? What's going on in your hotel and your company and your brand that you're doing differently that you didn't do prior to this COVID thing? If you're not doing anything, you need to figure something out. You need to do something different. Because, you know, everyone else is doing the same thing, I think. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. Let's just say that your competition is doing the same thing. That you want to continue to do what your competition is doing? No, do something different. That's what it's all about. This is the time where, remember we talked about that P word, or I use swerve, where these are the times that your company or your brand can pivot or swerve, that's my word, I'm sorry, swerve around and do different things. It's not, the swerving is not just about you, it's about your brand as well. If the brand happens to be a hotel or your restaurant, things like that, that's what you need to do. Just like restaurants, they weren't able to open, right? But they started, they got the okay to do takeout or dine outside. You know, that's swerving or that's pivoting. That's something that maybe you did a little bit of it, but now you're doing a lot of it, right? But, you know, it takes something different to do that than just to, you know, for people to dine inside. So they had to swerve and make some things happen. And a lot of restaurants are doing well because of that. They're probably doing better now than they were doing when they were serving people inside, which means you have less staff, right? And you're not cleaning up everything, right? Because everybody's taking it to go. So that all, you know, I know it, you know, from the standpoint of someone working, okay, it's cutting them, right? Cutting their hours. But from the standpoint of a business owner, they're probably doing a little better, right? That's all I'm saying. So no one wants to lose jobs and things like that. But sometimes it comes down to, okay, am I running a business or what am I trying to do here? I mean, you have to look at it that way. Hotels the same way. I mean, are they running a business or they're trying to, you can't appease everybody. You cannot satisfy everyone, especially during times like this. So some tough decisions have to be made. Have you connected with anyone new lately? Anyone new? Anyone old? Have you reached out to other people? I mean, something. So those are things that we need to do. And the last question is, what has this situation taught you? Has this situation taught that we need to don't put all our eggs in one basket, or we need to, you know, what do we need to do at this point? I don't know. This is a question for you. It's not a question for me. This is the question I just ask, right? So what do you think? Let's see. No thank yous today. I don't know why not. Shout out to people. A quick shout out to people in Blythe, okay? It's going to be 114 degrees there today. So I just thought I'd mention that. And you know what? And I never talk about this. For people just not listening, I'm from Blythe, California, right? A little small. LA is about 3 hours and some change east. So take the 10 freeway, you'll run right through Blythe, right? So it's hot as heck down there, right? So I remember 125 degree days, okay? So it's 114. It's still hot. Anything over 110 is hot, right? So today I'm sending out a shout out to people in Blythe. It's 114 degrees. That's going to be the high today. But my question is, why isn't Blythe a river community like Lake Havasu, Bullhead, or Laughlin? And I'm not talking about the gambling part of Laughlin. I'm talking about the development and things like that, right? You know, things on the river. I mean, what is the reason for that? I've always wanted to ask someone that question, someone that lives there, someone that votes, someone that, you know, has a say-so in what goes on in Blythe. Because back in the day, and I'm just going to say this and I'm going to get off of this. Back in the day, we had three supermarkets, okay? Now they got one. Well, Smart and Final, if you want to consider Smart and Final a supermarket, because they made it into a supermarket, I guess, for the most part. So they have two. But I think that's a different type of store. But anyway, so they have two. But back in the day, we had three. And we had less people. They have 21,000 people in Blythe. That's so they say. Back when I was growing up, we had about 6,700 and we had three supermarkets. Something doesn't add up. Anyway, I just thought I'd ask that. Maybe someone that's listening will say, go give me a shout out and say, well, this is the reason why, or how dare you? No. I'm from Blythe. I can ask these questions, right? So, and if you're afraid to answer the questions, well, that I'm sorry. But today, bottom line, Blythe is 114 degrees today. Okay, it's going to be hot. And like I said, it's a river. It sits right on the Colorado River. And my question is, why hasn't it grown like Lake Havasu or Bullhead or Laughlin? Because when I was growing up, Blythe was actually larger than Lake Havasu City. Okay, now Lake Havasu has, if I'm not mistaken, it's like over 100,000 people or something like that. I'm just asking. I don't know. Not saying that Blythe needs to be 100,000 people, but if you haven't been there, if you're not from there, you don't understand what I'm talking about. So go through there and see it, and then we can have a conversation. Introduction of today's topic. Oh, you know what? I want a quick shout out to JP Adrid. Okay, JP Adrid, she gave me some pictures. I posted a couple pictures of from 2002, right? What we looked like in 2002. So, because JP was my sales assistant when I was at the Hilton in San Pedro, which is now the DoubleTree San Pedro. So she sent pictures last week of her and I from 2002, and just so happened that okay, Dion. Is a question. See, someone just chimed in about the whole Blythe thing. You know, definitely we need to ask that question. But anyway, so JP is sending me some pictures. She was my sales assistant back in the day, 2002. And just right before the COVID thing, I'd seen her at, now because now she works at the Hilton in Long Beach. And I ran into her and we took a picture. So I kind of had an old picture and a newer picture. So I said, have we changed any? Well, then I had hair. I had, you know, my beard was black. Now it's white and now I have no hair. So... and I just said, have we changed? So thank you, JP, for sending that picture. I posted it on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. So if you get a chance, take a look at it. But I do appreciate, you know, that we keep in touch over the years, JP, and I appreciate your friendship. So I had to give you a quick shout out. So today's topic, I have a couple things, right? So I mentioned something about contracts, but I'm going to get to that. But the first thing, you know, everyone's anxious to get back to having meetings. But have we thought of everything before we get back to meetings? And this came up. I was listening to a podcast, another podcast the other day. It was a hospitality related podcast. And it had to do with a question came up and it said, can planners be sued if someone becomes sick with COVID-19? I was like, what? Oh my goodness. Hey, think about that. Right. So, and the attorney that was speaking, he said, yeah, he said, you know, bottom line, you got $100, you can sue anybody for anything right now. Will it stand? That's something else. But the thing that he said that was important was, yeah, you can be sued for anything, but what are you doing to kind of, eliminate some of the things that can happen? Because bottom line, if someone says they got sick, got COVID sick at one of your events, who's to say they didn't have it before they even got to your event, right? Who's to say they didn't get it on the plane when they're flying? Who's to say they didn't get it in Uber? I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there. There's no way of knowing where these people contracted this disease, right? So, but the thing of it is, what you need to do or as planners, and I'm in, then this is basically for, let's say, independent planners. What we need to do is to make sure we do everything that we need to do to make sure we're following at least guidelines that are set by the CDC, you know, the infectious disease control or whatever it's called. I can't remember the governing body for that, but the CDC, basically. So just make sure we're following those, the procedures, the rules, the regulations or whatever, to make sure that we're not missing anything. So then that way we can say, hey, these are the things, this is the protocol. These are things that we followed. And yeah, someone supposedly claimed they got sick, but these are things that we follow. And if they're, you know, based on what the city's asking, based on what the state is asking, then you're good. But one thing that we need to do now is that we need to make sure the hotel or hotels or the convention center or our group transportation that we signed a contract with and all that stuff, we need to make sure they're following the same protocols, you know, distancing. Like, say, if we're transporting 100 people, and normally, you know, that would be a bus and a half, you know, say it's a 50 passenger bus, we're transferring 100 people, maybe we can only get 25 people on a bus that holds 50 people, right? So maybe we need 4 buses instead of 2 buses. I mean, those are the things that we have to think about now. And I'm sure a lot of people have thought about that. But if you haven't, then you need to think about it. Because, you know, we always think about we're having this at a convention center or a meeting space. You know, we need to double the size of the meeting space. Well, doesn't just apply for the meeting space. It applies to transportation. You know, what about off-site events that we go to a lot? You know, we need a transportation there. And what if we get to this, whatever this type of venue is, and it's, you know, it's not as big or it's not as large as we thought it would be. So we need to make sure that, you know, now we have to be more diligent than ever. You know, we need to make sure, we talk about boots on the ground. You need to be on the ground and making sure that, you know, the pictures that we see online are actually, you know, the real thing, right? We need to be there. So now it's going to be imperative that we have boots on the ground and we're looking at these properties or these venues or the transportation and things like that to make sure that that it is what they say it is, or it is what we see, you know, online. Because, you know, we know those pictures online could be, you know, oh, this is a great hotel. And you get there like, well, it's not the same hotel. Where's the place on the picture? This is where I'm going, right? So that does happen. Okay, so don't think it doesn't. So just make sure. Can we, and I'm going to read this. It says, can we be sued? Have we or are we doing everything that is needed to prevent our attendees from contracting the virus at our events? Remember, we can only control so much. No one can say exactly where they contracted the virus. However, what we need to do is to eliminate any possible situations while we're on property. Have we followed the CDC guidelines for the city or state that we're meeting in? Is the hotel, convention center, or venues that we may be utilizing following the CDC guidelines? So those are things we need to check on. It's negligence. It's negligence that can get us into trouble, right? If we neglect to do some of these things, if we neglect to follow, you know, follow the CDC guidelines, if we neglect to not just to follow those guidelines, but to make sure the hotels, the convention centers, whoever else you're coming in contact with, or wherever your meetings will take place or your conventions will take place, we need to make sure the food and beverage operations, we need to make sure everything is gone by those guidelines, because it comes down to negligence. That's how people get in trouble, that, well, you didn't follow the rules, right? You just, oh, we had a meeting and boom, done, we're over. Well, no, you need to follow the set parameters or guidelines or regulations or whatever the heck you want to call it, but we need to follow those things. So the CDC is doing these things for a reason, right? So let's just make sure we do that. But I guarantee there's some planners out there that didn't even think about some of this stuff, right? I didn't really, you know, because I hadn't planned anything in a while, and I didn't think about it until I was on this podcast yesterday or listened to a podcast. And I'm like, those are some good questions. Those are good concerns that we need to think about. So let's just make sure that we are thinking about, that's what Russell of Hotels is all about. It's all about the education, right? It's not just about, having fun. It's about being educated and thinking like, I didn't think about that. But thanks, Russell of Hotels. You're the man. Group contracts. Hotels, DMOs. Hotels, DMOs, CVBs, AV companies, DMCs, ground transportation, etc. All need to have this in a contract. Who knows what a purpose clause is? I don't see any hands up. Oh, I see one back there. Purpose clause basically tells the purpose of that event. Why are you having this convention? What is it for? And I know there's some sensitive information. Like, say, if I'm a pharmaceutical company, I can't, you know, let that some of the information get out. But what if you have a product that you say you're launching a product launch or new car or whatever the heck it is, and it doesn't get in the car is not ready by the time your conference is slated to begin. Well, the whole reason everyone's flying in is for this new concept car or whatever that you're unveiling, right? So let's say it can't get there. Well, do you just have the meeting anyway? Or is that grounds for you to get out of your agreement or your contract? That's what a purpose clause would help you do. Basically helps you get out of certain situations. If say you have the speaker, say Russell Fotels is going to be your speaker. Everything's, you know, geared around Russell Fotels. He's going to talk about the latest and greatest of hotels and this and that, and he's going to have fun. And all of a sudden Russell gets sick and can't make the thing. Well, the whole purpose for everyone to come was to see me, and now I can't make it. So how do you get out of those contracts? Well, if you don't know, if you're not forthcoming with information, because that sometimes, and being a planner, I can say this, right? I always waited till last minute to let people know why this group is coming or who this group is, right? But now in the light of what's going on and situations, you know, this is one situation that's making us think, right? So we didn't know some of this stuff before the COVID thing. Now we know, right? I mean, everyone's, you know, when this thing first started, I was talking about force majeure and what needs to be in the force majeure clause and things like that, okay? Well, now we're taking this a step further. We need to put a purpose clause in here. Now, an attorney talked about this as well, right? A purpose clause. Basically, he said it should be upfront, like one of the first things on the contract. The purpose of this is boom, 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 boom. Everything is listed. So if anything, you know, if anything happens, we need to be able to get out of the contract. So that's what that's what these things are for. But, you know, hotels are going to say, anyway, it's all about partnerships, right? It's not about us against them. It's not about, you know, is this a seller's market? Is it a buyer's market? No, it's a teamwork market, right? We're all in this thing together. So let's just make sure we need to work on these things together. But planners need to protect themselves, right? Because a lot of this, like I said, this COVID thing is just going to be, it's just a step for other things to happen now. Okay. So even with the COVID thing, we need to start putting in their force majeure clauses. You know, we need to put pandemics and things like that, because the reason how some people got in trouble, they were using the boilerplate clause and no one thought to put pandemic or whatever. They said acts of God and things like that, war, acts of God, whatever. But no one, a lot of them didn't have pandemic in there, right? So those are things that need to be specific to an agreement, and a purpose clause will give you specifics to what you need to have in order to get out of contract. Now, of course, there's going to be dates in there. You have to be able to, you know, this, you know, get out of this by this date. You have to let us know by this date, that date, whatever. I understand all that, but you still need a purpose clause in there. Every contract, and not just for the hotel. What about the CVB? You know, when the CVB sends out, what do you call it? The initial bid, RFP. You need to have that on in your initial RFP, right? Well, they send out a proposal. We send out the RFP. So we need to have that. What is the purpose of this group? This is the group. Blah, blah, blah. But that same stuff needs to be in the agreement, the contract, right? And not just for the CVB or the DMO. What about the DMC that you have the contract? What about your ground transportation? What about your the hotels? What about any offsite venues? All this stuff needs to be in the same in those contracts, because a lot of times we deal with multiple contracts, right? AV, all of it needs, because they all, you know, we have to pay all these other entities to have a successful meeting, or we have to make sure everyone's all together. We'll make sure those clauses are in each one of those contracts. So if you have five different contracts that you're dealing with, then it needs to be in all five. Just don't assume that, well, it was in a hotel clause, so I thought the AV, because the AV company is in the hotel. No, most AV companies are independent of the hotels. They have their own contract, right? Their own agreement. So make sure those things are in each one of those agreements. There you go. So didn't that sound good? Ooh, that was a good one. Let's see. You know, all CVBs and DMOs are offering no attrition. No, not all of them, but some of them have put out, you know, we're offering no attrition, no cancellation for future meetings. Make sure you have a clause in it that includes, like, say you want to start low on your room block and be able to increase. And some people, they do this, they understand that. But I'm saying this for people that don't do it. So, you know, my advice, start low, work your way up. But have a, you know, we can increase or decrease by this date, because no one knows for sure once this all happened. And I'm not putting this out here saying that meetings are going to start tomorrow or next week or maybe even by the end of the year. No one knows when that's going to happen. But when it does happen, we need to make sure that we remember the stuff that I'm talking about and other people are talking about, and make sure we apply those things when necessary. Right. So, like I said, getting back to the DMOs and CVBs, you know, they're offering no attrition, no cancellation for future meetings and things like that. But you need to make sure they're offering these things, but make sure you protect yourself in your agreements. Make sure there's clauses in there that you can increase or decrease your room block, you know, by a certain date without any penalty or anything like that. And it has to be mutually agreed upon, of course, with your hotel partners or your CVB partners and things like that. So we have to do that, right? So those are things that we have to make sure we are working on. Also, one of the last things is, you know, I mentioned this a little while ago. Remember, it's a partnership. You know, as we move forward, we need to make sure, you know, everyone's working in tandem together, especially during times like these. I said it's not a seller's or buyer's market. It's a partnership market. And we have to make sure we embody that whole thing. We're all in this together. Remember, a lot of changes have happened. Some of the same people that we work with are no longer there, and they may never return. So it's important now that when we're making contact with hotels, that we're actually picking up the phone and calling. Because sometimes those emails, if the people aren't working there anymore, guess what? The emails are not going to get answered. Because I already hear people, you know, oh, I've been emailing so-and-so and so-and-so hasn't returned my email. Well, is so-and-so still there? Well, of course they're there. No, you don't rely on email that we're not following up. We're not doing our job to follow up to see exactly is there, who's handling this, who's handling that. I mean, there's some properties that the DOS is the only person, director of sales, is the only person that's in the sales department. So, you know, the three sales managers that were there are no longer there. So do you think that person is checking all the email, the separate email, or is he checking just his or hers? I don't know. And hopefully they are checking all of them, but sometimes that's just not the case. So, you know, what I would do, err on the side of caution and pick up the phone and call and say, can I have your sales department? Hey, Joe Smith, this is Russell of hotels, just Russell Edmond. And I'm, you know, following up on this and for, you know, 2021. And I just want to know who my contact was. Oh, I'm going to be handling till we, you know, get his email address and keep constant communication with people. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? And I always mention, are we keeping in touch? Have we reached out to people? I mean, this is the way that we need to do. We need to reach out to people and make sure, you know, they're our partners. So make sure that they know who we are, and we need to make sure they know who we are. What am I saying? They know who we are. We know who they are. Okay. So there you go. So those are things that we need to make sure that we are doing. Because sometimes we just get so lax on this because we think email is just the best. It is great, right? It's convenient, but it does not take the place of, you know, really communicating, I think. I mean, things in writing, but in a situation like this, you do need to reach out and touch people and talk to people if we can, okay? So I think that's almost it. And I went through this stuff rather quickly, and I still got probably at least 10 minutes to go, right? So any questions anybody had? Anybody wants to send me any questions? No, I'm joking. Anyway, I want to thank you so much. I'm saying people need to do what they, I'm reading some emails. Even cheap modern rate is usually 289. Pebble is even higher. See, some people are actually asking questions here. They threw a couple comments out here when I mentioned earlier that I made a reservation for someone in Monterey, and they said, you're exactly right. People need to just do what they're at. Well, that's wait a minute. I didn't mean to ask that, but $200 is cheap for Monterey. They said at Pebble Beach is like $289 and higher, right? So he got a rate of $130, right? And it's actually a hotel that I had done some work with. I was a task force GM at the hotel for several months last summer. So I knew the property. So when he called me and asked me, he said, hey, I'm going to play golf. I got invited to play golf at Pebble Beach. I said, Monterey? He said, yeah. I said, I knew why he was calling. When you mentioned that, I knew why he was calling. And I said, you got to stay at this one hotel. It's actually a Best Western, but guess what? Because I've been there, I knew the lay of the land, right? And it's very nice. It's only 43 rooms. It's off the beaten path, right? And but it's in walking distance of some restaurants. It's in driving distance, probably 5 minutes of, you know, where Cannery Row and all that stuff is. So it's, like I said, it's off the beaten path. So the rates are a little lower than it would be if you were, you know, where the Embassy Suites is over there. I think there's a Hilton over there as well. But he was, I mean, he was happy as, you know, he was like, wow, this is great. So, you know, sometimes, and I'm glad he called me, you know, that's why I'm the Russell of Hotels, right? I said, call me and I can tell you, or at least steer you in the right direction of, you know, where the better rates would be. And I don't have a problem with picking up the phone and calling people, things like that. That's what I do, right? That's what the Russell of Hotels is about connecting and collaborating with people, with hotels. That's what I do, right? So my job is to make it easy for you. So anyway, I think that's it. I don't have anything else to say. I don't have to keep rambling on. You know, I like to hear myself talk, but I don't have to keep talking just for the heck of it. So anyway, thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. This was show number 68. It was fun. I can't wait to get to show 70. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably nothing. But at least I'll be able to say this is show number 70. Okay. So anyway, you guys have a great week. Great day. Remember Taco Tuesday. I'm going to do the jackfruit tacos. So make sure, you know, it's Taco Tuesday somewhere for you guys. So do something different, right? You don't have to do the regular, what you've been doing. Try something new. And it's okay to do non-meat eats. Okay. That's the only thing I try to get out. So for people that are just now listening or joining in, I'm about hotels and I'm about non-meat eats. That's it. So things that I post on my social media platforms, 9 out of 10 times it has to do with hotels or what I'm eating or what I'm preparing. And like earlier today, I've, you know, put out what I ate for breakfast. It was an omelet, 100% no meat, no egg, plant-based, you know, omelet, right? And it was delish, hashtag delish. So it's okay to incorporate some things, you know, everything in moderation, right? So I don't push, you know, what I do on everybody, but I just want to say there's other options out there. So anyway, so thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Hotels. We will see you next week for show number 69. Take care.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.